Hello, everybody. Welcome to My Sports Musings podcast. My name is Frank Diglio. I'm your host. We're going to talk a little bit more about the Yankees today, some Knicks news, and the retirement of David Wilson. Also, for the Yankees, last night was a pretty rough loss. It's never fun to lose an extra, especially in 12, especially when you had two home runs off of David Price, you know, a very good pitcher, and you just can't finish the deal. And Kuroda, who usually pitches very poorly in the second half of the season, last night against a very good offense, went 7, only 3 runs on 6 hits, 5 strikeouts, and only 91 pitches, so he was only going 13 pitches an inning, which is really good. And the Yankees just, they're hitting, it was, you know, it was decent, but it just wasn't enough. They got 8 hits off of Price, which is pretty good. But it just, they didn't get any hits off of the bullpen. Chamberlain, Soria, and Nathan all held the Yankees hitless. And that was actually the case. The Yankees' first 1-2-3 relievers held the Tigers hitless in Betances, Kelly, and Huff. Hill hit a batter. He came out of the game. But Rogers gave up a single, and that was it. Rogers actually been pretty good for the Yankees. And Daly came in, gave up the home run, and that really was the game for the Yankees. Like I said, their offense just wasn't enough. It was a tough loss. It puts the Yankees 6 games out of the division now, and they're a game out of Kansas City in the loss column for that second wild card spot. I know if you go to the wild card standings, Toronto technically is the team in that second wild card spot, but they have one more loss in Kansas City, so really the Yankees are chasing Kansas City at the moment. I actually thought for sure Baltimore was going to lose last night. It was just a feeling. Baltimore hasn't, you know, they've been really hot. They have to come down to earth eventually. It was in Toronto. Toronto, you knew, was going to be pumped up for the game. This is a big game for them, too. They're also chasing Baltimore. But it just didn't work out that way. And now for the rest of the season, you know, the Yankees have a tough road. Fangraphs actually has them projected at finishing 83-79, 2 games worse than the final wild card spot, which they have going to the Toronto Blue Jays. And I mean, that may be true. If the Yankees go 83-79, they'll go 25-25 over the last 50. And so far the Yankees have actually played like a below 500 team, and so I've said this numerous times, they're slightly lucky to have a record above 500. And I was always thinking, hopefully at the trade deadline, you know, if at the trade deadline they make better moves, they could start playing like a team that's over 500, and maybe they'll collect a little bit more wins, move up in the standings a little bit, but that hasn't really been the case. Yankees transactions, they let Matt Thornton go to the Washington Nationals off waivers, and I don't really understand this move. He's been pretty good for the Yankees this year. He has a 2.55 ERA out of the bullpen. He averages less than a walk per innings pitch. Less than a hit per innings pitch. 23 hits to 24 2/3 innings. He's been pretty good. I don't really understand this. It's not like his velocity's down. He's still throwing a solid 95 at 37 years old. His slider's still coming in at 82. So he's still doing the thing that he was able to do in the past. He's been a pretty good reliever. He was a hard-throwing lefty. That's something the Yankees haven't had in a while. But they let him go. The only thing I could think of is when they put Prado's salary on, Prado signed through next year for $11 million, that maybe they were looking to unload some money. Next year, Thornton makes $3.5 million, and maybe they felt like he just wasn't going to be worth $3.5 million next year. So this is like a preemptive dump while he still has value. I don't know. Maybe they had some stats that showed that he was starting to decline, but because his overall season numbers are still pretty good. I thought he was a valuable piece coming out of the bullpen, and I'm sad to see him go. Look, Yankees could have used him last night. Used everybody in the bullpen. And while, you know, they would have used him before some of the back relievers, first of all, he would have came in instead of Hill, and he probably would have done a better job than Hill. And then who knows what happens after that for the rest of the game. But it's also a little bit tough to play the what-if game with relievers, because when a different guy comes in, a totally different scenario you know, totally different scenario happens, so you can't really, it's not a predetermined outcome. But I don't really understand that move. I was kind of sad to see Thornton go. It's tough. But like I said, the Yankees, they're supposed to go 83-79 now for the rest of for the season, according to FanGraphs projections, which is usually a pretty good projection site. It's obviously not definite. They could go, you know, they can go 30-20 over the last 50, and then they can win 50. They can go 89 wins. So we'll see. In the news with the Giants, David Wilson retired, and that's pretty sad news. You know, he was young, he's only been in the league 2 or 3 years. I know he wasn't great last year, but it's just sad news. You know, he's lucky he can walk away from the game. I think he said that himself. A lot of the Giants around the team seem to be pretty upset about it. You know, it's tough when that happens in football. And there's not much else to say about that other than it's a really sad situation. With the Knicks, they traded Wayne Ellington and Jeremy Tyler to the Kings for Quincy Acey and Travis Outlaw. If you remember, Travis Outlaw was on the Brooklyn Nets a few years ago. He was signed to that huge contract. I think he was made like $7 million a year, which is ridiculous. And then he was amnestied, signed with the Kings. He's not a terrible player. And the Knicks didn't really give up too much. Wayne Ellington has been in the league, and he just hasn't been much. You know, they didn't really give up anything there. And Jeremy Tyler, you know, was a decent big man. He was someone who, when given the time, played, you know, pretty well for the Knicks. But they really didn't lose anything. I don't think they looked at him as a long-term solution. And next year, even though none of their big men are good at defense, Bargnani, Stoudemire, even D'Alembert is just okay. I guess they're looking at it and say, we weren't going to play Tyler because they have the backlog with Stoudemire, with Stat, Bargs, and D'Alembert. Outlaw last year averaged 5.4 points a game, 2.7 rebounds, 0.8 assists. Per 36 minutes, his numbers get a little bit better. He didn't play. He only played 16 minutes a game. Per 36 minutes last year, he averaged 11.5, 5.7 rebounds, 1.6 assists. He shot 39%, which isn't very good. Though he shot 35% from three, which isn't bad. The Knicks typically have... they need shooting to surround Carmelo Anthony with, and I think they know that. Outlaw's a decent shooter. Shumpert last year was a pretty good shooter, so was Hardaway and J.R. Smith. So, and Travis Outlaw can play both the three and the four, which I think they like, because while I believe Anthony is a better four than a three, I'm not sure the Knicks want to put him at the four full-time and have his body go through the more of the grinding that takes place when you're playing a power forward position. You're banging bodies more, you're rebounding, it's a little bit more physical. So maybe they get Outlaw to give Anthony a little bit of a break. He can come in off the bench, play, you know, like I said, he could be a stretch forward, which can help the Knicks a lot. And that, it's not a terrible pickup for the Knicks. It's not like a game changer. We're not going to be sitting here in January and the Knicks are going to be 10 games over 500 when we're going to be thinking, boy, that Travis Outlaw trade, that really did it. And they also got Quincy Acey, who's not, I mean, he's a blue-collar kind of guy who plays hard, and he doesn't really have all the physical talent in the world, but he's not very good. I feel like he might have just been thrown in for the salary. Per 36 minutes, he averaged 7 points and 9.2 rebounds, which is pretty good, 9.2 rebounds, but... You know, he's almost like, he's an undersized big man. He's not, like I said, he can just kind of rebound well, and that's it. He doesn't really bring much else to the table. But it's not a terrible trade for the Knicks. You know, the Knicks are in a situation when they're not going to be great next year. You know, maybe they get into the playoffs as like a 7 or a 6 seed. With Indiana falling out, Indiana might be worse than them now. But there's still 6 teams that are, in my opinion, definitely better than them. Miami, Cleveland, Chicago, Washington, Toronto, and Charlotte. I don't really I don't understand an argument of why the Knicks would be better than any of those teams. They were all better than the Knicks last year, and except for Miami, they all got better. And I think Washington, even though they lost the Reeves, they replaced him with Pierce, who's a little bit older. I think they got a little bit more experience. I think Wall and Beal will continue to grow, and I think Pierce is a great veteran leader for the team. He can take a lot of late-game shots. He can do a lot of good things for them. He can also handle the ball a little bit in both New Jersey or Brooklyn and Boston. He had a lot of point guard-type duties, and I think that's just a great acquisition for them. And so the Knicks, I think, are looking at the 7th seed, best case. And the way it's looking, you know, the Nets, if Brook Lopez is fully healthy, the Nets could still get the 7th seed. I know Pierce is gone. But if Deron can give you 60 games, Joe Johnson can give you 60, 65 games. And if Lopez is healthy, it's a big if. You know, he's been hurt a lot. But if he's healthy, he's as good as any center in the league offensively. So that the Nets could take the 7th seed. And, you know, so the Knicks could be fighting for the 7th or the 8th. They don't have a ton of competition, but they're also not guaranteed a playoff spot like those first 6 teams are. So that's where they stand. Like I said, this trade doesn't really tilt the needle in their direction, into the playoff direction too much. It just kind of helps a little bit. That's going to be it for today. We're going to wrap it up. You can email me at mysportsmusings@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at Nelly Blystunad, N as in Nick, ELLIEBLYSTUNAD. You can also now download the podcast on iTunes. It's on iTunes. Just search My Sports Musings. Subscribe if you want. Rate 5 stars. That'd be really nice. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you later on in the week.